The stress is killing me. Ever heard somebody say that? Maybe it was you. Well, whoever said that may be exactly right. Stress does kill much more than people realize. The medical community is beginning to comprehend just how damaging stress can be on the human body. And now you'll see many seminars, studies, and books trying to tell us how to deal with this subtle killer. Over the next several weeks, I'd like to consider the matter of stress from a biblical perspective. And I'd like to do so much like a doctor would treat a situation by looking at the symptoms, at a diagnosis, a prognosis, and a prescription for how to handle these various subjects that bring stress into our lives. See, they can, if not properly handled, adversely affect our health physically, emotionally, psychologically, and even spiritually. Now, I'm entitling this series of messages Stress Fractures, because often these threats go unnoticed and untreated until they become a bigger problem. Now, to be fair and honest, I'm borrowing the title from a book by Chuck Swindoll entitled Stress Fractures. And I'll be referring to this from time to time. I take a little different approach than he does, although some of the chapters do kind of overlap. But the idea is that these stressors come in and they can produce very real problems in our lives before we even realize it. The Mayo Clinic defines a stress fracture as tiny cracks in a bone. And they go on to add, stress fractures are caused by the repetitive application of force, often by overuse, such as repeatedly jumping up and down or running long distances. Stress fractures can also arise from the normal use of a bone that's been weakened by a condition such as osteoporosis. Stress fractures are most common in the weight-bearing bones of the lower leg and the foot. Track and field athletes are particularly susceptible to stress fractures, but anyone can experience a stress fracture. If you're starting a new exercise program, for example, you might be at risk if you do too much too soon. One line that really jumps out at me in that description is where it says that stress fractures usually affect the weight-bearing bones. And I think that's also true psychologically and spiritually. When we carry heavy weights and heavy burdens around, we are liable to crack under the strain. Now, the main scripture I want to focus on this morning comes from the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I think if Jesus were to say it today in our culture, he would say, "Come to me, all you who are stressed out and worn out, and I will give you relief." Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't it sound good to have some relief from the stress we live in on a day-to-day basis? And I believe that we can experience that relief. I believe we can reduce our stress and the effect that it has on us, because we need to be aware that stress is a subtle killer. So first, I'd like to ascertain the character of stress. What do we mean by stress? Now, in the language of physics, stress is a term used by engineers. It describes both the external force applied to a material and also the internal strength required to resist it. Oftentimes they will test a product and see how much weight it can bear before it begins to crack and crumble. It's looking at its weight-bearing capabilities, and that stress, the stress that is put on it, and the stress to withstand that pressure. Now, we're going to be focusing more on the internal responses to stress in our studies. Dr. Hans Selye was a father of stress research. He defines stress as the nonspecific response of the body to any demand. He goes on to write in his book, The Stress of Life, "No one can live without experiencing some kind of stress. You may think that only serious disease or intense physical or mental injury can cause stress, but that's false. Crossing a busy intersection, exposure to a draft, even sheer joy are enough to activate the body's stress mechanism to some extent. Stress is not even necessarily bad for you. It is also the spice of life, for any emotion, any activity causes stress." He emphasizes in all of his writings that the body can respond to all types of pressure the same way, whether it's good or bad. In fact, he coined a couple of words, one you've heard, one you probably haven't. Eustress, meaning good stress, and distress, meaning bad stress. You've probably heard the word distress before. And that's what we usually think of when we think of stress. It's something bad that's happening, a threat, a challenge that we must meet. But he goes to point out that even good things cause stress, what he would entitle eustress. The excitement of getting married, of watching your favorite sports team win a game, that ranks right up there with trying to meet a deadline or facing an angry boss. Those are all stressful situations, and it has the same effect on our body, whether it's positive or negative. Stress causes the adrenal glands to pump adrenaline into our bodies. And this makes the heart beat faster. It makes the blood pressure to rise, digestion to speed up. The muscles of the body are put on full alert. You've probably heard the phrase, fight or flight, right? That's what stress does. Stress gets the body ready for action. And that's adrenaline pumping through our system, and some of you fellows that are into cars might know about nitrous oxide. You shoot nitrous oxide into an engine and bang, it's ready to go. It's like superpower. But what happens if you put too much nitrous oxide, or if you run it too long on nitrous oxide? You're going to burn the engine up. And that's what happens in our bodies. This adrenaline pumps through us and we're ready to go. Body is on high alert. And that's very good when we confront a situation that requires a response. The problem is we tend to live at that level. It's when that is extended over a period of time that adrenaline can turn against us and have negative effects on our body. Another book you're going to hear me mention a lot in this series is by a Christian physician named Archibald Hart. This particular book is called Adrenaline and Stress. And he has dedicated his medical career to studying the effects of adrenaline on the body. And in this he writes, "Stress fires our boilers and motivates us to get projects completed or to overcome obstacles that block our achievements. At certain times and at certain levels, stress can enhance a person's concentration, strength, and productivity." How many of you have ever heard someone say, or maybe you're like this yourself, "I always work best under pressure"? Right? Yeah, I felt that way when I was a student. I remember one time I thought I'd be really go against the grain and write a term paper early. I mean, I wrote it like a month in advance before it was due. I ended up rewriting it 5 times before I finally turned it in. Yeah. Just wait until the day before and do it like normal people, right? And it is true. When we're under pressure, our body works in such a way that our concentration, our focus, our productivity can be enhanced. And that's not a bad thing. That's how God created us. It's one of the wonders of our bodies. The problem is when we abuse that. And that's what too often happens, especially in our hectic culture. We demand more and more and more and more, and we keep pushing ourselves beyond what our bodies were created to achieve. And it's important to realize that all stress, whether it's good stress or bad stress, has the same effect on our bodies. So even if things are going very well, you can still stress yourself out. Ask any bride a week before the wedding, or the mother of the bride a week before the wedding. It's the greatest day of their life, but oftentimes they're very stressed out. I often see that at the rehearsal the night before. You see all kinds of stress, even though they're looking forward to it. There's still stress that is involved. But here's the catch. When things are going well, when we're doing things we enjoy, we're less likely to notice the effects of stress. Because we're happy, we're enjoying it, this is fun. But that increased adrenaline constantly pumping through our system is having its effects, whether we realize it or not. Secondly, we must admit the calamity of stress. Again, going back to Dr. Hart's book, we are entering an extraordinary new age in medicine and in health sciences. On the one hand, we are making remarkable progress in curing illnesses and prolonging life. On the other hand, we are losing the battle against a very simple but elusive problem, stress. Despite medical science's enormous strides in treating illness, the problems caused by stress are becoming more prevalent and more difficult to treat. The time is rapidly approaching, if it hasn't already arrived, when we will be dying less and less from infectious and invasive diseases, but more often to the ravaging effects of too much stress. And stress disease is different from most forms of illnesses in that we bring it on ourselves. Now, is this accurate, or is this just an overstatement so we can sell more books? No, it's very accurate. And many Western nations are coming to realize this. Even the highly developed countries in Western Europe, the United States and Canada, they're all finding that too much stress leads to many health problems and even premature death. It's being recognized in the medical community. Hart's own research shows a direct connection between too much stress and high blood pressure, high cholesterol. Too much stress reduces the body's immune system, and it weakens its ability to fight off disease. There's even some suspicion, not that stress causes cancer, but that it can cause some forms of cancer to grow more rapidly and take over a body quicker. There's even a more subtle way in which stress can cause illness through the use of adrenaline. Our digestive system wants to work faster, and it secretes more acid. And when you're constantly secreting more acid in your stomach, what happens? Well, you run the threat of acid reflux, for one thing, but you also run the threat of ulcers. And many times people that are constantly stressed out have digestive problems. And it's not what they're eating, it's how they're living. Stress can also keep us from sleeping. Oftentimes when we're stressed, we can't sleep. We can't get our minds to shut down. It's hard. We have a hard time getting our bodies to rest. And that lack of sleep usually causes more stress, because then the next day we're trying to do what we have to do without proper rest. We're physically tired and we're mentally challenged because we're not equipped to face the day. And these can lead to increased usages of drugs or alcohol or tobacco. And that causes even more problems because it's affecting our physical health. Hart concludes, is it any wonder more people are dying today of its total influence than almost any other cause? What is the number one cause of death today? Heart disease. What's the number one contributor to heart disease? Stress. More than diet, more than lack of exercise, more than anything, we're stressed out. And it's literally killing us. Now, I'm not suggesting this is a new problem for mankind. The word distress we talked about earlier appears over 100 times in the Bible. And it describes negative stress. The Old Testament term for stress literally means tight. And isn't that the case? When you feel stressed out, you just feel tight, don't you? Your muscles are tight. And you feel everything is just tightened. And that's what stress does. That's what it's supposed to do. The problem is when we stay at that level, when we're constantly tight, it's going to have an effect. There's an old Greek motto, you will break the bow if it's always bent. Needs to relax. Think of an elastic band, okay? A rubber band that you put between your thumb and your forefinger. As you stretch it out, the band will stretch. It's supposed to. And then when you bring your finger and thumb back together, the band contracts, goes back to its original shape. But what happens when you keep that band extended for a long period of time? It begins to lose its elasticity. It gets stiff and brittle, and hairline cracks will form. And eventually, it'll break. It'll snap. We haven't talked about that. When people are stressed out, oh, they're about to snap. Yeah, they are. Literally. And that's what too much stress can do. You often hear of psychosomatic disorders. I know the first time I ever heard of psychosomatic, that meant they're sick in the head. That's not what that means. Psychosomatic means that your physical ailment has a psychological source. And again, oftentimes, it's too much stress that leads to very real diseases. Psychosomatic doesn't mean it's imaginary. It's real. It's just talking about where it comes from. And again, stress is often the cause. And again, it's not that we have stress, it's that we thrive on stress. We live on it. We're constantly running at full speed. The adrenaline is always pumping through our bodies. When we live from crisis to crisis, hurrying from one stressful situation to another without allowing the body to recover, that's when we incur the calamity of stress. And anything, pleasant or unpleasant, that arouses our adrenaline system for too long, mobilizes our body to fight or flight, predisposes us to stress disease. What happens is that our body simply adapts to the higher levels, but it has damaging effects over the long term. I think Chuck Swindoll hits it right on the head when he says, whoever dubbed our times the aspirin age didn't miss it very far. It's correct to assume that there's never been a more stress-ridden society than ours. For many, gone are the days of enjoying bubbling brooks along winding pathways or taking long strolls on the beach. The relaxed bike ride through a local park has been replaced with the roar of a motorcycle whipping through busy traffic. The easy-come, easy-go lifestyle of the farm has been preempted by a hectic urban family going in six different directions. existing on instant dinners, shouting matches, strained relationships, too little sleep, and too much television. Add financial setbacks, failure at school, unanswered letters, obesity, loneliness, ringing telephones, unplanned pregnancies, fear of cancer, misunderstanding, materialism, alcohol and drugs, even the occasional death. Then subtract the support of the family unit. Divide by dozens of opinions, multiply by 365 days a year, and you have the makings of madness. Stress has become a way of life. It is the rule rather than the exception. And folks, when stress is the rule rather than the exception, we're in trouble. We're setting ourselves up for a crash. So once we admit the calamity of stress, we need to acknowledge the causes of stress. Sometimes stress is caused by the circumstances around us, usually those we cannot control in any way, like the weather. Sometimes stress comes from others around us, from their demands and expectations on our lives. But most of the time, stress is self-inflicted. Even the initial cause may be external, but how we respond to them is often the origin of stress. One of the key causes to stress-related problems is our pace. At the very core of the stress problem is this Western 21st century lifestyle. The lives of most of us are too hectic and fast-paced. We're driven by a need to succeed and the very distinctive need to prove ourselves. This leaves little room for relaxation or leisure in our hectic lives. It's as if we're trapped on a runaway train and we don't know where the brakes are. The engines of our bodies have jammed at full throttle. And while technology has allowed us to do things faster, it hasn't given us any more time to rest. You would think that it would. If you could do something in 30 minutes that used to take 3 hours, you'd think, well, now I have 2.5 hours to myself. No, what we do is we expect to accomplish more. So now we take those 3 hours and try to do 9 hours worth of work. Even our technology is not helping us in that way. So a large part of the damage done by stress is caused by hurry sickness. The idea of doing everything in haste. How many people do you know? They do everything fast. They talk fast. They eat fast. They move fast. They drive fast. Everything's fast. Too much of that can have a real effect on our bodies. Another cause of the problems are personality, particularly those that have what's called a type A personality. You might recognize somebody like this. They're always in a hurry. They struggle to achieve more and more in less and less time. They have a high degree of competitiveness. The gym where I work out now, there's a saying over the treadmills that says, if you are beside me on the treadmill, then yes, we are racing. Everything's a competition, right? Everything we do, we're trying to do better than somebody else. People with type A personality are easily irritated by delays. Ouch. They have a low tolerance for frustration. They're hard-driving and ambitious. They're highly aggressive. They're easily angered and often have a free-floating hostility. The littlest thing will set them off. They cannot relax without feeling guilty. Anybody like that? They are confident on the surface, but very insecure within. They speak aggressively, accentuating key words. And they have a tendency to finish other people's sentences. Ooh. Sometimes that uncomfortable shoe fits, doesn't it? Now, these aren't all bad things, all right? I'm not saying that this is a bad kind of a person. What I am saying is that this kind of person is highly susceptible to heightened levels of stress in their lives, the kind of stress they bring on themselves. So sometimes it's our personality. And then one final cause I want to introduce today, but we're going to come back to it in more detail, is our perception. See, we tend to create stress in our minds and our bodies that never come to pass. We're really going to get into this when we talk about worry. You will be astonished to know the percentage of things we worry about that actually come to pass. It's astonishingly low. And yet, we manufacture these problems in our minds that stresses our bodies. Now, what is crucial to understand is that this fantastic stress response system can be triggered by anything that creates a sense of arousal or alarm in our bodies. It doesn't even have to be real. And yet it can still cause stress within us. Often it is simply enough to imagine them. And see, our bodies can't tell the difference between real and imagined threats. It reacts the same way. It is these more subtle threats that produce the greatest amount of stress and damage. Things that worry us, scare us, and frighten us, even though they only exist in our thoughts, are stress-producing because there's little we can do about it. And especially if that fear is very vague, there's just a sense that something's going to go wrong. We don't even know what it is. And hence, we can't do anything about it. But our body's stressed out. I love how one saying puts it. I think I heard it was attributed to Corrie ten Boom. Worry does not relieve tomorrow of its stress. It merely empties today of its strength. Isn't that good? When we worry about tomorrow, it doesn't change anything about tomorrow, but it sure affects today, doesn't it? It affects what we can do and how we can deal with the problems of today, which, frankly, we ignore because we're worried about tomorrow. It's how stress can work in our lives. Finally, I'd like to appreciate the cure of stress. In the weeks to come, we're going to consider this more and more specifically as we study individual sources of stress in our lives. But I want to go back to the words of Jesus once again. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. Twice in this passage, Jesus promises to give us rest. And that's what the worn out, stressed out soul needs. We need rest. And that doesn't just mean an afternoon nap, although a lot of us could use that. But it also means rest for our minds. Oftentimes we associate the word rest with relaxation. And those are two casualties to our hurried lifestyle. We don't take the time to rest and relax because we convince ourselves it's a waste of time. It's not. We need to see rest and relaxation as an investment in time. Because when we can rest and relax, we are better equipped afterwards to face whatever life throws at us. So it's actually an investment in time. God created us with the need to rest and relax. It's what the fourth commandment's all about. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Too many people think that means go to church. It had nothing to do with going to church. Keeping it holy means don't treat it like every other day. Make it special. Make it different. Whatever you do for 6 days, do something different on the seventh day. For those of you that work very hard at your job, it's physically intense, that seventh day should be resting and relaxing. Now, some of us work more in an office situation where we don't get a lot of physical exercise. That might be the day to go work in the garden or go mow the yard or do work, because even that can be restful. I know it sounds contradictory, but it's true. Do something different. And with that word rest, not only do we associate it with relaxation, but also with the idea of restoring. And that's what rest does. It restores our energy physically, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. We need to learn how to rest. God tells us in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." In the original Hebrew, "be still" means cease and desist. Stop. Stop trying so hard. Take a break. It's good for your body, your mind, and your spirit. Resting, relaxing, restoring. It is not a waste of time. But not to do so is a sin, because God has told us to do it. This isn't just good advice. This is one of the commandments. As was said years ago, these are 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. And I say, oh, in the New Testament, it doesn't talk about the Sabbath. There is nothing in the New Testament that retracts God's command for us to rest. Yes, Jesus fought against all the added rules that were put on the Sabbath. Those were man-made. God's command stands. And we need to find ways to rest, to relax, to turn off the adrenaline pump, to be able to sit back. Because you know what oftentimes lies behind all of our stress? Bottom line is a lack of faith. See, we convince ourselves that if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. Sometimes we need to, and I know it's a worn-out cliche, let go and let God. And that can be our form of rest. That can be our relaxation. Let God. It's not all up to you. Some things we just need to put in His hands and leave them there. And it's amazing what a relief that can be. When we realize that the whole world isn't dependent upon me, that I don't have to do everything, sometimes we allow God to do what He will do. Do you know what the penalty was for not observing the Sabbath day? Death. Think, man, that's pretty harsh. Really? Yeah, there's a story in the Old Testament, a guy out picking up sticks on the Sabbath and they stoned him to death. Whoa. But here's the thing. While it may not be a capital offense today in our culture, you ignore the Sabbath long enough and you will die. There's still a death sentence to the breaking of this fourth commandment. We may shorten our own lives when we do not learn the secret of turning off the switch. God has created us that way. So the next time you hear someone say, "This stress is killing me," admit it, they might be right, especially if it's a person looking at you in the mirror. Stress is a subtle killer when not managed correctly. Over the following weeks, we're going to see how to do this more and more specifically. But we begin by remembering the words that Jesus promised. He will provide rest for our souls. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Father, we confess with the Psalmist, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Our bodies are just amazing in the way you've created us to act and react to various situations in our world. We thank you that our bodies have this capability to respond to situations in our lives when we need to fight or flight. When we need to react, But Father, we confess that too many of us have abused that privilege. We've abused what you have created, and we constantly live on adrenaline. Help us to learn how not to live that way. Help us to learn what it means to be still and know that you are God. To turn things over into your hands and leave them there. We believe. Help our unbelief. Strengthen our faith in you that we might find rest for our souls and our bodies. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.